What's rather amazing, the Shas manages to come up with a limud of why we have to have three lines. A tkiya, trua, tkiya, three times over. With a whole hekesh, that iskesh, all the tkiyas of Tishrei are one, so we put together that which it says by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel and that which it says by Rosh Hashanah. In Sach HaKol, we get three truas. And Mameila, since each trua has to have a tkiya lefaneh, tkiya l'achareh, so in Sach HaKol, you have nine kolos. And we have a famous maimer of Yochanan said, Shoma test tkiyas, teshoy shubiyayim. A person heard, he heard a tkiya. Half an hour later, he heard a trua. Half an hour later, he heard another tkiya. And that's the way he went. An hour later, each hour he heard, let's perhaps, each hour a kol. So by the end of 9 hours, he heard nine kolos. And he heard them in the right order with no interruptions. So he said a mitzvah. Now, so from that, we went all the way till 100. A factor of 11 plus. Imagine if a Torah said to do 100 kodesh, somebody would do. Torah, Sach HaKol, and Bekoshi, we managed to cobble together that there's 9. And we have 100. What happened? What's the Geshendo? Yeah, that's it, you know. And I said the briskets start from 100 and then they start going.
Listen to hundreds. Not once. A couple of
times. Oh, Kalpanam, so the shadow where all of this came from. And we will note along the way that not in all of Jewish history and all Jewish communities had this practice. As Rabbi Yochanan said, you heard 9 tkiyas, and that's enough. 9 kolos. You're go home. It'd be a much easier job to be a Baal Tekeah.
Anybody can do it.
9 kolos, you know. So what happened there? So let's try to put everything a little bit in perspective. It's clear in the Mishnah that the primary tkiyas were intended to be the tkiyas which take place during Malchiyas, Zechonis, and Shofars. Say the tkiyas, sholosh, three times, or sholosh, sholosh. Sholosh, three times, achas le Malchiyas, Rashi says, achas le Zechonis, and achas le Shofars, and Mishnah, Lamed, Gimel, Lamed, Reis. Shall sholosh sholosh tkiyo trua tkiyo l'chol achas v'achas. For each bracha, one line, one trua, one tkiyo, one trua, one tkiyo. That's all for malchias. The same thing for zechonis. The same thing for shofars and l'chayim and l'shalom. That's the mitzvah. It's all over. So that's where we started. Now we found earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara asked the question that we know it's a midrash in Klal Yisrael. That we blow tkiyas before Shmona Esrei, right? Which we, according to the definitions that we use, I mean, that's also in dispute. The Alamora has his own version, but according to the Ramban's version is the version that we work with, that the tkiyas de Meyushev means the first 30 tkiyas. Well, nominally, we really should be allowed to sit. We happen to stand, but nominally we should be allowed to sit. And then there's the Kiyas Nemu'umah that which have to do during Chazaras HaShatz. And those, there's Indian, it's during Shmon Esrei. So he's supposed to stand. So those are the Kiyas Nemu'umah in our definition. So the Gemara asked, why do we blow the Kiyas Nemu'ushuv? You know, it's clear that as the Mishnah says, the primary, the Kiyas were intended to be a Chelek of the Tefillah. The more answer is Kedela Arve Vesa Sultan. Kedela Arve Vesa Sultan. Right? There are many, many Perushim, and that's not the subject of our Shia tonight. What's Kedela Arve Vesa Sultan? We just know Rashi's Pshat. Rashi's Pshat is like this. There are people that are all of all different levels of anxiety. You know, there are people that wake up in the morning and they have anxiety that the moon is going to crash into the earth and there'll be a nuclear war. And who knows what else is going to happen today. And there are some people that have very little anxiety. But even people with very little anxiety, if the stakes are high, they also have anxiety. If you put $1 million down on something, and today you're going to find out if that million went down the tubes or you made money on it, you're not going to wake up in the morning as calm as a leaf. You're going to be anxious until the deal goes down and you see you succeeded. Why? Because the stakes are very high. So even though you're a very chilled out person, you don't normally get anxious, but when you have $1 million down on the table and you don't know what's going to happen, you know, so I guess if you're Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, maybe, I don't know, I have no idea what it means to have that type of money, but maybe $1 million on the table also doesn't arouse your anxieties, maybe, I don't know. But for a normal person, $1 million on the table would arouse his anxieties. So what we're displaying, it would seem, according to Rashi, is we're a little bit briskus, we're nervous, we're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah properly. So what do? So we blow twice as many koilas as we have to blow as a minimum. So to make sure that we, somewhere along the way, we got the right ones in. So that's ma'arif as a sotan. When we come before the Rebbeinu Shalom Olam with such obvious chibub ha-mitzvah, that we cherish the Rebbeinu Shalom's mitzvahs, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells the sotan salonk. Well, what can you say about such people that have such concern for the mitzvahs that I've given them, to go to such an extent to make sure that yotzei a mitzvah. That's it. The sultan's out. He has no place to speak. That's the irv of a sultan, comes from the chshivas, the concern that we have to make sure that we'll be yotzei the mitzvah. So they instituted kiyas to Muhammad, rather than Yushuv. And really, it's rather interesting, fascinating, because with that, we yaitzir it in the rice of tkiyas. I heard all the tkiyas after him and after, even though Chazal very, very much wanted, and that's why we have them, tkiyas together with the brochas. Tkiyas are a chelik of the Kabbalah Satfilah. In the world of Bris, they classified tkiyas as a chelik as tfilah. And it's quite clear, we'll see, the Ritva clearly is on that page. We'll come to that without any doubt. So now we just went from 9 to 18. But we needed 9, and now we're going to do it kiyas to Miyushim, so we have 18. Then we have a very famous Gemara of Namadalat Amar Aleph. Iskin Rabavua Bekesari. Rabavua made a takona in Kesari, and that Kiyo Shloisha Shvorim Trua, Kiyo. You should have Tashrats. So the Gemara said, if it's Tashar is the real one, do that. If it's the Tarats are the real one, do that. So he says he wasn't sure. So if he wasn't sure, so what did he accomplish by having Tashrats? Because the Gemara assumes here in this Gemara, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that the key has to be connected to the Truah. Meaning that there has to be a Tekiah which immediately precedes the Truah, and a Tekiah which immediately follows the Truah. And any foreign sound that would intervene, a sound of shofar, would disconnect the Tekiah from the Truah. And one would not be Yotzei. The Gemara says, so what did he help with Tashrat? So the Gemara ultimately says, they blew everything by him. They blew Tashrats, they blew Tashats, they blew Tarats. So they covered all the bases. Iskir Nabavo Bekisari. And there are a number of questions about what took place. The first question that Ritva asks, we'll come back to this later, how he wants to answer this kasha, very unusual Tarats. How he wants to answer the kasha. But what shayach? Were they really mesupik? They didn't know what the mitzvah was? Was that the issue? That's what we would think from the Gemara. They just wasn't sure what was the right one. So how can you not be sure a thing that takes place out loud in public in front of the whole city every single Rosh Hashanah? Who has a doubt? You know, a little kid knows what the shofar sounds like. So, you know, you tell me there's a mitzvah which is done privately and people don't see it in public and whatever. What's inside the tefillin, maybe? Who knows what's inside the tefillin? That somehow you can have a suffix about that, that's hard enough. But a thing that's done on stage with the entire tzibur every single year. If Rabbi came and I'll send him up and I'll blow a different order, I'll tell you, the place will be in an uproar. Maybe, listen, Rabbi, I don't know what you want. Tell me the Rambam, the this, the that. Listen, we went to Shofar every year of our life since we're born. We know what you're supposed to blow by Shofar, and that's it. You know, cool it, chill out. So how in the world did they arrive that they're mesupik about what you're supposed to blow? That's the kasha. So the Gaonim, and the Rosh quotes the Shita of the Gaonim. They give a very, very beautiful answer to this. And that is that in actuality, you're really Yetzer no matter which one you do. It doesn't make a difference. You could be Yetzer with Tashrats, with Tashats, with Tarats, mix and match, whatever you want. It's all fun. And basically what emerged because of that is different congregations did different things. They were all within the framework of Aloha. And in Avot Yisrael, they did Tashrats. Across the street in Eitz Chaim, they did Tashats. Down the block in Rabbi Savitsky Shul, they did Tarats. And all of them are good. However you blow, it's all Tkiah, true or Tkiah. There's different types of truas, and they're all equally fine in the Yaitse. So all was fine and well. But what happened, and the Ritva describes it vividly, is in the nature of things in Klal Yisrael, the not-so-lettered people that did not understand all of this, they started to take pride in what their shul does. Well, we do the tashrats. Everybody else, the tashrats, the tarats, you go there, it's fine, it's a brochel of a tully and a yitza, you know. You haven't heard shofar in the last 30 years since we even started davening in that place. So this led to a lot of contention. So Iskin Rabavu said, we ought to have, first of all, we can't have this communal sniping at each other, that lozu adarach. And secondly, it's not a way to run a religion. You don't have a religion that every shul in town seems to be doing something else. That's not the way to run the religion. It sounds very Jewish, but Rabbu and the Talmud Rosh, it's not a way to run the religion. So he instituted that's it. Every shul's going to do the same thing. We'll do three tashrats, three tashats, three tarats. So everybody does the same thing, and wherever you go, you hear the same thing, and there's no sniping from one group to the next. Everybody's Yetzer Shofar. This is perhaps the primary conception of Rav Avuhu, I think, is the Goyim's conception. Or the Hanano seems to have also to learn this way. And so we went now. We went from 9, in effect, to really what we would call 30. In other words, now that we have tashats and tarats, so we call tashrats 4. So all of a sudden, we had 9, and then we had another 9, and now we just multiplied it by a factor of 3. So now we just went up to 60. In the way, if we're following through, I shouldn't say, we had 30 at the beginning. And you can have from that, we'll see, the 60 in the Chazaras HaShatz is questionable how that came. We'll come back to that. So far, we're up to 40, I should say. We have 30 beforehand. That's Rav Avuhu's Takana. Now, what is interesting, in the time of the Rishonim, the existing minhag, there are a little bit different reports how exactly it shaped up. But the basic idea was, by Malchi is the Chonis and Shofas, but one of them you blew Tashrat, but one of them you blew Tashat, and the other one you blew Tarat. That's all they did. One line of each. In the whole Chazaras HaShatz, there was Sacha called 10 sounds. That's it. From beginning until the end. And there even we have in Piyutim that they say there were 40 sounds. Keneged the Medroshim, even 40 sounds, keneged the 40 days of our Sinai. Here we have it here in Tosfos. Here it is. Where is it? In the Piyutim that there were 40 tears. Yeah, where is that? What line?
The 40 lines at the bottom of the
yeah, that's what I was looking for.
It's a little above Hagol Sabach.
Hagol Sabach.
Two lines above where the Hagol Sabach starts.
A little above that, okay. The beauty of the 40 koilas that we blow. And that was the minute that the 40 koilas became the Seder of Amram. They have like instead of the tkiah, that was the way they ended. They ended with a true gedoyla. I think in this, true. Maria true achas. I think in this, I'm trying to remember, perhaps in Motzei Yontif, in the Sfardish of Minhagim, it could be to do a true instead of tekiah. I don't remember. There are Minhagim. Okay. So they had 40 koilas, that's it. Rab means Rav Avu only insisted on his tikkun for the first 30, because that put an end to it. In other words, there's no longer shayach to snipe, everybody heard everything. But on the other hand, he went back in the other direction, in effect, and he only had a tashrat, and a tarat, basically to tell you, listen, they're all fine. You see that they're all fine, because when we want to have them with the brochas, we let you do tashrat here, and tashrat there, and tarat there, and we don't worry about it. So in effect, he put an end to the sniping by having everybody do it. And the same thing by the Tekiyas to Miyushuv, and by the Mu'umud, he left it basically Ukma Adina, and he showed that all of them are fine. There's no problem with any of them. And you wound up with 40 Koilas, and that's it. And this was even after Rav Avuah's Takana, and that's what we're having there. Agan Asor and Rav Amram Goyin tell us, they had 40 Tekiyas, Rosh Hashanah. Now, what happened to all of this was, there's another pshat to why Rav Avuah came along. And this is a pshat of the Rambam's pshat, and the Ramban's pshat, and Tosfos is mashma that way. And that is that there was a real shaila of what you're supposed to blow. Is the real deal tashrat, the real deal tashat, or the real deal tarat? A sofik. Which one it was. So consequently, Iskar Nabavu came along and said, listen, we can't have a sofik and a mitzvah deraisa, so we have to cover all the bases. Now, so the Reform wants to know, according to this pshat, how in the world did you wind up in a sofik? What happened? They didn't know what they blew last year in shul or the year before. You know, ask your grandfather, tell you what they did 80 years ago in shul. You know, and he'll tell you when he went to shul with his grandfather, that's also what they did. So what's the deal? So the Reform is a phenomenal chiddush. The Chazal equates the trua with yuvava, meaning a cry of pain, of anguish. So they bring it about yabev aim sisra, and trua is translated as yuvava. It's an expression of sadness. So the Ritva learns, according to these rishonim, that trua means to make an anguished outcry. But it was not a fixed musical note. And he says, listen, we see musical styles change. But in one era is considered a happy song, could be considered a sad song in another era of music. The musical styles changed. So he says it reached a point where they were no longer expressing themselves in the way they were earlier. And they became a supik, which is really the right way to go now. According to the contemporary expressions of anguish, of moaning and groaning and sighing, which is really, which ought to be the right true nowadays?
So
question, is it allowed to evolve?
So he says it's allowed to be, it evolves. That's what the Rosh Ritva says, according to the Rosh Hashanah. It evolves according to this, the music style of that time. And he says it can change. And the Rav Avuhu was concerned that it reached a point that it very likely changed. And therefore, he said, but we're not 100% sure of how to settle this matter, so Iskin Rav Avuhu with Kesara, that you should do all of them. Because we're not really 100% sure which is the one we ought to pick. So Mamela, to avoid the situation, we just picked all three, and we'll do all three. That's the way they learned. Now, those Rishonim came to a major problem. From the time of the Gaonim, they blew Tashrat once, and Tarat once, but the Chazaras Hashatz, and the Chaim of the Shalom. Now, if Rav Avuhu was really Mesupik, so how did it come about that you don't blow all of them? What happened? If it's a Sufik, so we should have had at least a lot of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat by each one, which is really ultimately what evolved what we do today. So why didn't this happen? So Rabbeinu Tam, because it is kasher, Rabbeinu Tam said he's changing what they do. And Rabbeinu Tam instituted that they're going to do one Tashrat for each of the Malchus, Zechonos, and Shefers. That's it. One Tashrat. And he says, I prefer this change to any other change. I guess they're going to go more massively to making three lines, because I want to stick as closely to the minhag that existed until now. At the institute, three lines, no one was noeg like that, so I don't want to do that either. But he said, with Tashrat, you'll be yotze all the bases. You have a shvorim, you have a trua, you have a shvorim trua. She says, hey, well, wait a second. Why didn't the Gemara ask the Kashan of Avu that why it is an interruption? So why didn't Rav Avuhu institute that? And the Gemara said there's a hefsik. So Hadra Kushi Leduchter is a hefsik. So Zok Rabbeinu Tam, I don't want to get into the whole Gemara that's involved, but there's a machlokes from Yehuda and the Chachamim. And that Gemara was expressing a view of Rabbi Yehuda. And when Rav Avuhu came to make his fix, since he was going about making sure you yotze l'chol ha'dayas, so he made sure we yotze according to Rabbi Yehuda's day or two, that interruptions are an issue. But according to the Chachamim, interruptions are not an issue. So Mameila, when it comes to we were already yotze the din d'oraisa, and this is only a din d'rabbanan, so we didn't go to cover every single base. We don't have to cover every single base. So therefore Rabbeinu Tam said we should make a change which is as close as possible to what they were doing until now. So this is a very minor change, he said. And Rabbeinu, this will suffice to deal with this problem. This is the Rabbeinu Tam's view. Now the Ritva does not agree with Rabbeinu Tam. The Ritva says that the issue that Gemara raised about a hefsek is even according to the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara didn't just mean this was like another super flourish, a chumrah of Rav Avuhu to be yotze Rabbi Yehuda Shita, but the Gemara meant Beikar Adin, you're not yotze if you have any hefsek. So if you're not yotze, so Hadra Kushi L'duchta, so how come from the Tongue Gohinim it came down that we did Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat? I mean, why now? Of course, because we're going to Shita that this is a real suffix. So Mameila, to blow three times Tashrat is not going to cut it, because you'll still have a problem, because Hepsik is a real issue. Elamai, so we'll leave it the way it was. That's also not good. What's going to help to blow the way it was without Rabbeinu Tam? So we have a Tashrat, a Tashat, and a Tarat. So what's the Pshat? You know, according to them, two out of the three are probably wrong. One of the three is right. Two out of the three are wrong. So basically, we don't have kol shofar for two out of three brachas. So what's going on? So comes again the Ritva, and the Ritva goes to his playbook from Masechta Tainus. Now, Rosh Hashanah is not the only time that we have tekiyas together with the brachas. We only have it on Rosh Hashanah, but Chazal had it when they instituted a real Tainus Tzibur. In other words, when they reached the point that they had finished six Tanesim already, and they still didn't have rain, so the latter seventh of the latter Tanesim were the real Tainus Tzibur. And there they added brachos in Shmon Esrei, spelled out in the Mishnah Tainus, and with each additional bracha, they would blow shofar. Because they said the Indian of shofar is the Indian of Kabbalah Satvila. And this is a Tainus Tzibur, a real Tainus Tzibur, is dedicated to Tfilah. So the Ritva says, but my sheet is the Ritva sheet in Masechta Tainus, and he quotes it here in Rosh Hashanah. He says, but for that shofar of Kabbalah Satvila, you need just one sound. That's all. You don't need tkiya through a tkiya. You need one sound, whatever it may be. A tkiya apparently, a true or a tkiya, whichever one you want. Any sound of the shofar is enough for Kabbalah Satvila. So it's interesting. According to that, we could have another pshat in that which we do at the end of Yom Kippur. In other words, that tkiya is the end of Kabbalah Satvila. Like, it's Yom Kippur is certainly the ultimate Tainus Tzibur. So according to him, at the end, they used to have it in every bracha of the additional. They added seven brachas, and the additional brachas, each bracha had shofar. Because you could blow one tkiya, and perhaps you could blow one truah too. And maybe that's what is far and lower true. So it's Indian of Kabbalah Satvila. So he says the fact that we add the true key to it, it's not relevant. Who cares? All I need, the first key, I'm Yotze. You need Shofar. So you have Shofar, that's all. True key, that's a din mitzvah tkiya Shofar of Tisha. It has nothing to do with blowing Shofar a whole year. When they blew Shofar the rest of the year, one call Shofar was enough. Goodbye. So he says, that's what they're doing. The Indian of the Tkiyas, we were yaitz in the mitzvah already with the Tkiyas to Miyusha. So what do we have Tkiyas to Muhammad for? Because the Tkiyas are a chelik of Kabbalah Satvila, it's a lair bakosha, for Kabbalah Satvila. Perhaps in the context that the Gemara says, in the Medrash says in Vayikra Rabbo, the Pasuk, one of the psukim that the Baal Tekeah says before he actually starts to mix the brachos, Olo Elokim b'sruah Hashem b'kol shofar. So the Medrash interprets this, Olo Elokim b'sruah, that Elokim is midas adin. When we started off to blow the shofar, the Rosh Hashanah was midas adin. Rosh Hashanah is the day of midas adin. Why don't we have vidui on Rosh Hashanah? Because vidui is a very dangerous enterprise. If you come and you confess before the judge all your sins, so it depends. You know, if you just won the lottery on the way into the courtroom, we stopped in the coffee shop, we just won $1 million in the lottery, so he's in a good mood. Suspended sentence. Right? He had a fight with his wife before he left the house, spilled his coffee on his pants, tripped on the steps, and now he walks into court and you come in. 20 years in jail for the same thing. Vidui is a double-edged. How's it going to go down? So on a day of Midas Adin, we don't say a peep about vidui. No vidui on Rosh Hashanah. So, but what do we do? But shofar is Hashem b'kol shofar. With the kol shofar, the Rabban Hashem goes from Kisei Racha Din to Kisei Rachamim. We invoke the Midas Rachamim through the mitzvah of shofar, mamelo. So that could be the pshat, that it's an aspect in Kabbalah Satvila. Shofar is ma'orer in Shamayim to go from Kisei Rachamim Din to Kisei Rachamim.
Is he somewhere another going to say when the Gemara asks why you blow Yushal and Mu'uman, he's going to fit that answer into?
So I would say, no, the Gemara meant to say, do everything about a Mu'umad, and that's all. We'll do the mitzvah and the Kabbalah in one shot. Then of course we would have done what Rabbi Vuhl said in the Mu'umad. That's all. That would have been fine. You tell me, listen, from strike to the Miyushev, that would have really been, that's really the koyach of the Gemara's Kasha before. The real ideal thing to do would be that our Seder Abrochos, we did Rabbi Vuhl. I mean, if those are supposed to be, the Chazal were extremely concerned about these tkiyas to go with the Brochos, so shouldn't those be the ones that we ate to the mitzvah deraisa with? That would need a pashtus. And we have to have 9 koilas. So we're going to do them sometime, and there's an inyan to have them with the bracha, so let's be yitzir, it's for the raisa, right here together with it. We'll do all the everything in one shot. So that's what Chazal asked, is the question. So why in the world did we break out tkiyas, tkiyas to miyusha, but we yitzir, it's for the raisa, before we get to the tkiyas of Chazal HaShat? What happened? What did we do such a thing for? So Kedil Arviv is a son, so we could have done that. We didn't do that. So the mitzvah deraisa, I was yaitzi before. That I was yaitzi. And it could be, but Shaifer itself is a special schooler to be Ma'ara Midas HaRachman, and perhaps that's the pshat. In the Meila, there's Indian in Kabbalah Satvila. So it says, their sheet of the Ramban and Taisvis, is, it's not the Tashat, not the Tarat, it's the Tkiyah. The rest is, yes, I say, sort of, you know, in Rosh Hashanah, we blow Tarat, we blow Tkiyah through a Tkiyah, so that's what we blow. But that's, you know, merely incidental. It's window dressing. You know. But that's it. The real deal. Yoytzi Tkiyah. Maybe we did that also in case the guy that came late, a little Michael Zaros Ashatz, he had 9, and Yoytzi, whatever. We could have varied reasons we might do it. But the real deal, 1 Tkiyah is enough. That's it. In Zaros Ashatz. 1 Tkiyah 3 times, and Chaim of the Shalom. So according to him, even after the Rabbanan instituted the Tkiyas to Yusha, we could have, before Rav Avuhu, we could have gotten away with 13 koilas. That's it. 13. 10 by the Yusha, 3 by Chazaras Hashatz, and the Chaim of the Shalom. So what happened? How did we still go? So wherever we are, the most. So, history somehow, for whatever reason, somewhere along the way, our forefathers decided that they're going to blow at least Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat by each of the Malchus, Zecharis, and Shepherds. We're going to institute Rabavu by all of them. So now we got up to 60. So would we go to 100? So this looks like it had to do with the Arizal. That's what I gather. That's what this came about. Until the time of the Arizal, there were 30 at the beginning and 10 in the middle, according to Rabbeinu Tam, 12, whatever, you know, 3 shvarim, 3 tashrats, and that's it. That's all there was. They basically, there were 40 and you went home. You see, I think that they did change. I mean, there are, it could be, we'll see in Tosis, we'll come back to this Shabbos, but it'll be the Aruch also had such a notion. But the one that really, that it really became big with was the Arizal. But we have Tosfos brings from the Aruch that there was some type of tekiyas associated with the Tefillah Shel Malachus. Where, what, when, and how, that's a whole story. But there was some type of tekiyas associated with it, and he quotes the Aruch here on the fourth line. Perish, Aruch perish, shall you eisen kesh, perish be Aruch. Erech the Holland, the Holland the Machm Rivab the Shloishim to the Yasfin. They do 30 of the Yushim, Ushloishim Balachash, and 30 with the Lachash, the Tfilah Balachash, Ushloishim Allah Seder. So they all of a sudden those, and this became, we'll see with Shabbos, with the Arizal, this became big time. And I have a theory why there was a certain change also which took place in the Torah Saniglo. In what actually took place. We'll go back home and come to this Shabbos, which really set the stage for the Arizal's instituting the Tkiyas by the Lachash. So according to him, there were, where it was in the Lachash, this is a whole debate. We'll come to this, whatever, how to learn Pshat in this Aruch. The Avnei Nezer is, it's interesting, he was a Hasidish Rebbe, and he was vociferous against the Chassidish Minhag of the Tkiyas. And he said, we'll see Shabbos. And the Aruch that they claim is on their side, he has a very, very incisive diuk that they cannot be pshat, though the Chassidim claim is pshat, and the Aruch cannot be the pshat. But we'll see, that's for Shabbos, that part. Our Koponim, we went from 30 to 60, and that And he brings, there was some machmirim, the Aruch, and with the Arizal, this sort of become a mainstream happening, that we went to 90. So they instituted the same way that they got 30 in the Chazaras HaShatz, which was already more than the Goyinim had. The Goyinim only had 10. So somewhere along the way, there were those people that said, we're going to do the whole Rabavuhu for the Chazaras HaShatz. So now we have 30 there, and 30 at the beginning. And somewhere they crept in with 30 into the Tefillah B'Lachash, somewhere in the Tefillah B'Lachash. We'll come back to that another time. So they were up to 90. Now, I think once they were up to 90 already, if they were up to 40, I don't think they would have pushed it to the 100. There was a medrash. No one seems to really know what the source of this medrash. The Rishonim tell us there's such a medrash. But all the super bekiyim, nobody could find such a medrash. No one. So in the Medrash says the following, which is also a very strange thing, that the Sisra, the mother of Sisra, cried 100 times upon learning of his death. And consequently, the Medrash says, we blow 100 tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah. As I said, no one knows where this Medrash is, what the source of this is. But the Rishonim tell us there is such a version of a medrash. Now this medrash is a very strange medrash. As I want to point out, the mother of Sisra was a very evil woman. The Tanakh tells us so. It's not for us to speculate just because she had a son Sisra. There were saintly women, Rivka had a son Esav. But she was a very evil and wicked woman. When he did not return from battle as quickly as she expected. So the Novi says, it says, how did they comfort her? Right, the Novi in Shaiftim. How did they comfort her? So they came to tell her that, listen, your son's busy pillaging and abusing women, so he doesn't have time to come home, you know? That's what you tell a mother, you know? What's he so Yezindel is up to, you know? He's pillaging and abusing women, so he's busy, you know? He'll be home a little later today. You know, if you can comfort her in such a fashion, so that shows you that the apple of her fault is right from the blame, that Sisra reflected, you know, his upbringing, what his mother was about. She was a very evil woman. So what are we learning from her to inform us how to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? This is the one that, you know, hold up. This is our standard of shofar. We blow 100 koilis because of Aim Sisra. What are we concerned with Aim Sisra for? Certainly not a paradigm of virtue and a paragon of Jewish values. So what are we learning from? So I think the pshat is, going back to the medrash that I mentioned before, that the shofar is a reflection of the fact that we stand under the amen in the shadow of the Midas Hadin. And through shofar, we're trying, in fact, to effectuate that we go to rachamim. But the shofar is a reaction to din. We'll come back to this in a moment. And consequently, when Chazal tell us that Aim's sister cried 100 times, why? Because she was afflicted with the midas hadin. Sisra, she had a vision. She understood that Sisra, that Yael took the tent peg and drove it through his skull, through his temple, and killed him. So to express her anguish with the experience of the Midas Adin, she cried out 100 times. So that's what I think Chazal is trying to learn from here. That if the Midas Adin is worthy, if Chazal tell it us, means it's something we should take note of, that it's appropriate to cry out 100 times for the Midas Adin. She deserved to have the Midas Adin, but nevertheless, the reaction that came forth is the appropriate reaction. So Mamela, Chazal is saying that there's an Indian of the 100 koilis to go to 100, because that's the appropriate way to respond to the threat of the Midas, to the looming Midas Adin. If that's the way you respond to the Midas Adin, we should respond to the looming Midas Adin in that fashion. And that's why I say that I don't think that if they had, for example, the 40 koilas of the Ga'inim, they would have ever done this. You know, it's once they were up to 90 already, Once they got to 90 koilas, okay, so then there's some theory of why it's kedai to go to 100. So they went to 100. But if they had stayed at 40 as the Gaon in blue, I don't think we ever would have wound up at 100. Now, we in Minhag Ashkenaz, we're all together. We don't even know. We're not sure what to do. Because in the Minhag Sfart, meaning, in other words, the Kehilas that follow the Arizal, it looks like an Eidot HaMizrach, they, to a very large extent, not everyone, but a very large extent did so, in the Hasidim. So Amela, they had 90 Kehilas before they finished Chazaras HaShatz, with good rhyme or reason for those 90. Right? There was the Kehilas to Yushuv, and the Kehilas in the Silent Shemar Esrei, and the Kehilas in Chazaras HaShatz. So at the end of the day, there were 10 left. Okay, so they grabbed in the 10. And those 10, they did before Tiskabel. That's it, finished. The non-Chassidim, they have only 60, is all of a sudden, like, so we have this huge addition after Shmon Esrei, which is really then, like, not tied to anything. Like, and as I said, it's pretty clear to me that the 100 would not have come about except for the fact that I already got it up to 90. Once they got it up to 90, the jump to 100 was a small jump. But it's, they would not have gone. The Goyim had no notion of going from 40 to 100. And I kind of doubt that they would have gone from 60 to 100 either, according to what we do. I doubt it. Once they were at 90, no, okay, so they marked KMLO another minute or two. But, you know, that they wouldn't have done. So that's where Aim Sisra comes into the 100 koilas that we have. As I mentioned, the notion is that the shofar is an acknowledgement of the Midas Adin. Now, the Rabbi Yonis and Eivshitz, and I would be indebted if someone found, supposed to be in the Yaris Dvash. I have, you know, a sefer, which is sort of a synopsis of the Yaris Dvash. In other words, all the Niglo minus the Kabbalah. And I've searched for it, and I can't find it. So it has to be somewhere. I thought in the Yaris Dvash, maybe it's in a different sefer of Yonis and Eivshitz. It's quoted in the Siddur HaGro. Rabbi Yonis and Eivshitz had a kasha. And the truth is, I added to his kasha. The Gemara relates in Elam Galchen and Mayit Kotten. So what is it we think the role of the shofar is? Midas Arachamim. That's all blowing shofar. But yet we find in Chazal that the role of the shofar is Midas Adin. It says that there was this Gavra Alam, this gangster, and he was on the case of some Talmud Chochum, who was rather helpless, you know, against him. So what they did is they put this guy in Chayrim, and it says they sent 300 people to blow shofar at a grave site, whatever. And that's and then this guy was taken down. So you see that the Chazal, and he quotes one story, there were two such incidents in Elam Galchen. So it shows that the shofar is associated with Midas Adin, not with Midas Arachim. So he says, why did Chazal tell us that the shofar is to bring about the Midas Arachim? And what's the Irv of Asotim? You know, why does he get frightened of something which is Ma'ir Adin? It's not Ma'ir Arachim. So Rav Yonis and Eivshit says, it's true it's Ma'ir Adin. But how do we go about the dinners with Chochmah? You know, if we let the Sultan start presenting his case, it's not going to be too sweet. So what do you do? If you know that the jig is up, the prosecutor has it all on you, and he's going to come and lay out a case, it's going to be not pleasant. So if you have a smart lawyer, he says, comes in, he says, Your Honor, my client pleads guilty, and he places himself in the mercy of the court. Now, once he does that, the prosecutor can't present his case. That's it. It's over. So they don't have to go through all the litany of the things that the prosecutor would have accused him of. So he says, that's what we do. We come, we see the Sultan, and the Sultan is looming. So we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, Chatanu, we're guilty. We're guilty. We accept the din upon ourselves. And we place ourselves in your hands, at your mercy. So that's the irv of a sultan. Because now the sultan does not have a place. He's no longer necessary. You know, this I've told you before. from Tzvi Hirsch Berliner, that he was a Rav in three places in his life. He was a Rav in Berlin, he was a Rav in Poland, then in London, and then in Berlin. So in Berlin he once gave, this is a drosha, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, I was a young man in Poland, I was once, fell asleep in a chair, and I woke up, I was half awake, half asleep, and I saw a very distinguished gentleman standing in front of me, very impeccably dressed, but he seemed profoundly sad. And I asked him, who are you? Why are you so sad? He says, Rebbe, I'm the Satan. And Poland is a tough place. The Jews in Poland are very pious people. They don't want my goods. And then I woke fully, and he was gone. Years went by, he says, I became a Rebbe in London. And the same thing happened. I fell asleep in a chair. I was half awake, half asleep. And I see him again. And now he looks in fine shape. He's happy, sameach. So I ask him, what's up? He says, Rebbe, London is a good place. I have a lot of customers for my wares here. And I awoke and he disappeared. In my elder years, he says, I became a Rebbe from Berlin. And the same thing happened. I fell asleep again and I awoke halfway. And there he was. But he looked even more depressed than he looked in Poland. So I said to him, I don't understand you. He says, what, do you have any shortage of customers in Germany for your wares? So why are you depressed? He says, Rebbe, you don't understand. He says, here they don't need me. It's Malach Nasa Sayyidei Acherim. Without me, they do already. But, you know, the Indian of the din, the Sotan is, pushes the Midas Adin. But that's only if the Sultan's necessary. When it's Malach the Nasa say that if we preempt him, Rabbi Yonis and Eivish says, we told the Rosh, we're guilty. Chatonu, that's it. Nope. Listen, in Tzadik Boratza Sheyasa Toivu Leyechto. I saw the words from the Talmidim of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher. He died about 5 years ago, but it's funny, now I became a shtickle mechutin with him. My nephew married a grin, or the other way. My niece married a grandson of his. So I met somebody, a couple of sons at the Yeshiva Brochus. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher. He was considered the foremost psychologist in Eretz Yisrael. The Medina consulted him for its most hardcore criminals, how to deal with them. And he was a yeshivish person. Rav Shach used to consult with him. And he said, his family told me, he said, your father had all the degrees, but all the yetzes that he gave came only from the Torah. He would not give any yetzes that were not rooted in the Torah. So one of his farm, he writes that he has a messiah from Yitzchak Isaac Sher, the son-in-law of the altar, that he learned from the altar, and the altar said he had a messiah from the Rav Yisrael of Salat. He says, chet is not the issue in life. He says, chet is part and parcel of human existence. In Tzadik Baruch Hashayas HaTov Leyechto. He says, the shayla is not chet. The shayla is what we do after the chet. What comes next? Where we go from there? What we do about it? That's the issue in life. That we stumble? Well, maybe we're going to stumble. That's not the big issue. Shad is how we pick ourselves up and how we put the pieces back together after we stumble. That's what life is about. So we have then the basic machlokes, or rishonim, was a Ravu concerned with a public relations disaster, meaning that people were, all the clients were doing different things and everyone was dumping on everyone else. And that's what he came to fix. And Ramelo, according to that, and the Tkias and Chazoros Hashatz, that they did one Tashrat, one Taratzachakol, well, first of all, certainly there were Yetzer, and even in fact, moreover, he actually was out to make a point. He did that in that fashion, so everyone should get the point that he actually Yetzer with all of them. You know, despite the fact, whatever we guys were saying until now, but he actually Yetzer with all of them. And then we have the pshat that he has, which is according to the Rambam, the Ramban and Tosfos, the Rambam was fixing a real problem, that they were no longer sure what the truth was. So Mavela Iskin Rabavu. So then the Shailah, so why did you only have one Tashrat, and one Tarat in the Chazor Hashatz? To which we have two answers. The Rabbi Tam says, no, the fact that to be concerned with Hefsik is a Chumra Ba'alma, and the Rabavu wanted to be Yaitzi, even the Machmirim in that Shailah. But once we were Yaitzi, the Mitzvah Deraisa, Chazal were not concerned to be bothered with that problem. So Rabbeinu Tam said, I would prefer, even from that standpoint, since it's a real problem, to make three tashrats and be yaitzi with that. So he changed the minhag of the Goyim, and he instituted three tashrats. All this, the Ritva says, no. This is a real, that's the concern of Hefsek, was not a chumra, it's a real din. And Rabbeinu, with three tashrats, we're certainly not going to fulfill Rabbeinu. So he said, Elamai, we don't need Tarat's Truat Tkiyah altogether. All we need is one Tkiyah, because it's the union of Kabbalah Satfilah. Sorry. And Mameila, with one Kol Yeitzi. I mean, according to him, Tkiyah Shefa would be real easy. Real easy. I mean, the Chofetz Chaim writes, interestingly, that in the last 40 Tkiyahs, I'm not knowing like this, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but he writes in the last 40 Tkiyahs, if the guy makes a mistake, you don't have to correct him. You don't have to kvetch about it. Why do I correct them? I'll correct them for two reasons. First of all, there are latecomers, and maybe they're actually being yoytzei with the tkiyas at the end of the Chazor HaShatz, which is the reason that in the tkiyas of the Chazor HaShatz, I do by the Shema Achas, which is yoytzei, is the most popular shita in the Rishonim. And many say that even the shita of Shtei Neshimas allow Shtei Neshimas, but yoytzei by the Shema Achas. So that's one of the reasons. And the second reason is there is a debate. The Trumas Hadeshin, and that's what the Chofetz Chaim quotes, learned that Shtei Neshimas to Shvorim Truah has a slight pause in between the Shvorim and the Truah. So that's the way we blow in the first 30 tkiyas. But the Chazon Ish, and I found now the Avnei Nezer also, both dispute that pshat. They dispute that. They, as it says before, I'm disagreeing with the Trumas Hadeshin. He says it's known the Trumas Hadeshin did not see the Ramban on the run. And it's clear he has rayas from them that the only way to be Yaitse is without any hefsek at all between the Shvorim and the Truah. And he says, according to that, if you have the slightest break between them, you're not Yaitse at all. So, but at least, 40 tkiyas, that's what we do. We do the Shvorim Truahs. If it's a Shema Achas, but we also do it in the manner of the Chazon Ish and Avnei Nezer, without any hefsek at all. So that's a reason that I would go back, because I'm trying to be Yotze according to their Shita too. But in principle, you wouldn't have to go back. That would come out according to the Ritva, but it cares to Muhammad, according to the Rambam and the Ramban and Tosfos, you don't have to go back either. Because he says all you need is one, and you need one Tkiyah. By each of the, you need one, by Malchus, Achanas, and Shavuos, you need one Tkiyah. The rest, forget about. The rest is not important. So, Mamela, who cares what, as long as you made one Tkiyah? Right. The Shvorim, and the Shvorim, yeah, who would care what the Shvorim is? It's not relevant. You shouldn't have to go back at all. You made one Tkiyah. Finished. And that could be the smallest Tkiyah. It could be from two also, 2 seconds. Yaitzi. So, we have, it's amazing, an unusual amount of chumras in this mitzvah. An unusual amount of chumras. It goes back to what we saw in Rashi. This is the chibur of a mitzvah that we have. Chibur of a mitzvah. You know, to be yotzei at all levels, for all people, at all shittas. So this is a chelek of chibur of a mitzvah. Which is, Rashi Lal says, is that that's the root of the irva vasotah. That was so machshav, the Rebbeinu Shlom's mitzvahs, the Rebbeinu Shlom tells the Sultan, listen, when someone's so machshav the mitzvahs, you know, you have a soldier, just won the Congressional Medal of Honor, he was Moshe Nefesh, and he chased the enemy off the battlefield at the risk of his own life, and he saved 5,000 men. So then you're going to tell me, listen, he's not so machbed in every rule that the army has. president says, I'm giving him the Congressional Medal of Honor. Forget what rules he doesn't keep. You know, it's not important anymore. If you have such Shivas HaMitzvahs, if we did some Chatam along the way, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, they're certainly worthy of Midas HaRachamim for that. So that's the Inyan of the Erba Lasotah. Okay.